Peace, Shanti, Aum. Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to One Life to Live. And it's a beautiful Thursday evening. Everybody's wet. Good for you. Make your hair grow. I bet you think you voluntarily came here. You came here because you had to come here. You have absolutely nothing to do with it. All this was prearranged before you were born. And here we are. And you think you have something to do with it. You had a choice. You never have a choice to do anything, really. Except to turn within and find out who you are. Otherwise, you're like a puppet, manipulated by karma. You believe you have freedom. Everything is predestined, preordained. There are no mistakes. Everything is in its right place and falling as it should. It's when you react to life that the problems begin. You have been trained, programmed since you were a little kid. And now you are completely spoiled, rotten. For you believe this is right, this is wrong, this is good, this is bad. This should be this way, this should be that way. And if it doesn't work out the way you think it should, you get mad, you get into a temper. You get upset. Life is very simple. Why make it complicated? Life is simplicity itself. Leave it alone. Don't try to change anything. You're here to enjoy, to love, to be. Never try to improve things or to change things. But just to be yourself. What is such thing? And why are you here? When a person begins a spiritual path, it is no accident. Again, they did not choose a spiritual path. It happened by itself. As you are aware, there are millions of people who have no spiritual path at all. And the world goes on. But those of us who have a spiritual path, I'm not asked for one, it just happened to you. Due to the fact you came this way through karma, We've been this way before. And you're continuing the path. When you first began, you were like a little child, learning about God. Does God really exist? Who is God? You were very inquisitive. If you were really sincere in your heart, the Guru would then push you forward. Forward to new vistas, new understanding. And you come in contact with the sage. And satsang. Satsang means sitting at the feet of the master. Literally, sat means wisdom, consciousness. The master, consciousness, wisdom is all the same. It's not my consciousness or my wisdom. It's not your wisdom, your consciousness. It's just consciousness and wisdom. I don't own it, neither do you. So you come to sit in wisdom. You do not come to get wisdom. You do not come to give wisdom. You come to sit in wisdom. The wisdom which already exists. Which has always existed. And which will always exist. The wisdom which asks you, who am I? Where did I come from? Where am I going? What's my purpose in life? Those questions arise of their own accord. There is no answer to any of the questions. Never seek an answer. If you ever come up with an answer, it's the wrong answer. When there's no place to go, nothing to attain, no God to worship, there's no path whatsoever. There is not even such thing. There's no master. There's no wisdom. Then what exists? Silence. Pure awareness. Sounds. The sounds of the heart. infinite silence. In the silence, creation begins. Creation begins when you start to think. And you break the silence. In the beginning, there was silence. Then you came along and began thinking. And now we have an entire universe. You created out of yourself. Everything that exists came from you. And you don't even exist yourself. So how can you do this? How can a non-existent being create a non-existent universe? That's for you to find out. Suffice it to say, everything that you believe exists does not exist. Everything that you have faith in does not exist. Your personal gods your body your ego everything you believe in does not exist what exists nothing exists Then you ask, what am I doing here? Who says you're here? You allow the mind to play games with you. Just so you're a man, you're a woman. You have things to accomplish. Possessions to accrue. You compare yourself with the people next door. And you make a life for yourself. Then you find out the life isn't working like you wanted it to, and you get upset. But the life that I'm talking about is like a moving picture. It only exists for a time. And it disappears. As you look back in retrospect in your life, you'll see that you've wasted so much time trying to improve things, trying to judge people, places, and things. Trying to make things go your way. Believing that you'll be happy if certain things happen the way you think they should. Then when they do happen, you're not happy at all. We had it for a short time. We become miserable again. We spend your time searching, looking, reading, trying to discover new secrets. Everything is a waste of time. There's nothing going on. Nothing's really happening. Become part of the nothing. Rather than part of something. If something has to change. Everything in the senses behold has changed. And then allow your mind to think about these things. And then allow your mind to differentiate between good and bad, right and wrong. Now I know what I'm saying to you. Makes you think, well, how am I supposed to live then? He's telling us we're not supposed to do anything. We're not supposed to react. We're not supposed to go out in the world. We're not supposed to think. We're not supposed to create anything. And why am I here? Why are you here? What makes you think you're here? Find out. Are you really here? Who's here? Who are you? What are you? An organism that has some sort of life to it? Struggling all these years for survival. Life in its essence is beautiful. But not the life that you're living. There is a life that's so beautiful, so precious, so joyous. But it's beyond the senses. It's beyond knowingness. It's beyond all concepts. It's your real life. Some people call us by Brahman. Some people call us by consciousness, pure awareness, absolute reality. Yet if you've not experienced this, you don't know it exists. Is there something else in your life that you live now? Is something else that exists at all? You have to keep asking yourself this over and over again. What is reality? What is consciousness? What am I doing here? Why now? Spend periods in the silence. Will you observe your breath? Will you watch your thoughts? Do this as often as you can. Never react to the world, no matter what it shows you. Dive deep within the self. So when you dive within the self, it's by not reacting to life. Every time you see a situation and not react to it, you're going deeper within the self. You are not who you think you are. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Stop looking at your situation. Yearning for better things. Believe me, if you change your lifestyle, it will be better for you. Learn to leave yourself alone. Do not interfere with yourself. And you will find you will become happier than you ever in your life. Simply by leaving yourself alone. You have everything you need within you to become self-realized, to become liberated. There's nothing anybody has to give you for this to happen. You have all the tools to make it happen yourself. Yet you insist on reacting to the world. It is this that keeps you back from self-realization. Who can hurt you? What can hurt you? Nothing but your thoughts. If you stop your thoughts, you become unhurtable. When there's no one left to hurt, if you're involved in your thinking process, you become hurtable. When your thoughts always bring to you in your mind certain instances, certain things that you think will hurt you. If you don't do this, if you don't do that, you will have to do certain things to keep from being hurt. What you really have to do is know who you are. That's it. Understand your real nature. Who you really are. Forget about the past. Forget about people who hurt you before. Drop everything. Let it go. Let go of everything. Everything. Hold on to nothing. Stand naked in the world. Without a foundation. Nothing to take refuge in. Then you'll be cleansed completely. And you'll become the ascended master. But when you take refuge in this, and you take refuge in that, this keeps you from your real self. An example. In Buddhism, you learn to take refuge in the Buddha. Take refuge in the Sangha. And so forth. Yes, when you do this, you become an idiot. We're holding on to something. You become dull. Insensitive. Hold on to nothing. These most of us have fear. We're afraid to do this because we don't know what will happen to us. We feel secure when we take refuge in something. The security is your downfall. As long as you feel secure, you'll never grow. It's like having money in the bank. You're afraid to spend it. You're afraid if he was out on the camp. We think this is your nest egg. You hoard it. You always look at the balance. See what you have. This keeps you from advancing spiritually. Remember the Israelites of old, when they went to the desert for 40 years. They were told not to see any manna. So they throw away the extra manna they have, not to see anything. And new manna was provided for them daily. This is the meaning. As long as you have something to hold on to, something to save you from something, you can never become free and realize. Most of us are afraid of having nothing. Yet nothing is absolute reality. Nothing is your savior. Nothing is reality. Something, on the other hand, is your enemy. Something will always hold you back. I'm not saying you have to give your possessions away. I'm saying possess all your will, but never be possessed by your possessions. Do not believe that what you own will be your security. It never works out this way. Your security is yourself. The faith that you have. The power that you have. The love that you have. This is your security. Nothing else. Yet most of us can never live this way. Or we've been brought to believe we have to have something. And we feel if we have nothing, we haven't made it into this world. And we become depressed. We compare ourselves with others. Yet every great spiritual master has lived from day to day, never caring to know what's going to happen the next day. But you say, how can we do such a thing in the West? You say, this is for monks, nuns. For people have given up this world. On the contrary, you will be happier than you've ever been in your life when you stop worrying about your possessions, what you should have, what you shouldn't have. for your natural possession, nor your body, nor your mind that thinks these things. Why not surrender right now to the power which knows the way? Make up your mind this night that you're going to get rid of everything. Mentally. You're going to let go of the past, the future, the present. You're doing this right now, this minute. And then you go of all your fears, all your frustrations, all of your thinking. You are no longer concerned what's going to happen to you tomorrow, where you will be, where you won't be. You're no longer worried about a job, income. People, places, things. You have found freedom. Absolute freedom. This freedom will take care of you, will guide you, listen to it closely. I'll tell you what to do at every turn. This freedom is really you. Behold, I make all things new. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Notice I am. I am is always with you. For I am is you. I am with you always. How can it be any different? I am is consciousness. Is your very soul, your very self. Every time you say I am, remember what you're saying. You don't have to say anything after that, just say I am, that's the end. As you go through the vicissitudes of life, whatever you see, just say, I am. And everything will be taken care of. When something seems to be wrong in your life, say, I am. Very powerful. It will cause many changes in your life. And that's anything after I am. Just that I am, that's sufficient. And I am this, I am that. Just I am. I am knows what to do. I am knows what you need. I am knows who you are. Let's go within right now. And think along with me, along these lines. I am. I have always been. I will always be. I am is absolute reality. I am is the truth about myself. I am now listening up in the mortal life. A pleasant consciousness where I'm totally free and liberated. The world can no longer affect me in any way. People, places, and things can no longer affect me in any way. For I am. I return to my source. I am. All is well.
Talk on quantum healing. And in this talk, he says that in this phenomenal world and the relative plane that I live on, there's a field of infinite possibilities. And it seems to me that anything in duality is a possibility. In other words, the sinking of the Titanic was a possibility. The merging of Christ into Sri Ramakrishna was a possibility. When I saw beautiful colored lights dancing to some music that was being played when I was on an LSD trip, that was a possibility. And when a great airliner takes off from Los Angeles with several hundred people and lands in New York 6 hours inflatable within minutes of when it's due. That's a possibility. Anything in duality is a possibility, and it's either real or unreal, however I want to look at it. Is that right?
Yes.
Thank you.
Why not? Anything is possible.
You can do that. Because it isn't real in the first place. Mm.
Anything about the weather?
Drowsy, yeah.
It's
beautiful. It's beautiful. The grass grows, and the pears need water, and the apples. And there's a hole in the roof. That's how you look at it.
It's not lousy or beautiful.
Yeah. It's more true.
When you project your thoughts into it, it becomes what your thoughts make them.
Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you something, Father, I don't understand. You once equated the question, who am I, with where does I come from? How is those two meanings connected? How do they connect?
Who am I actually means, where is it supposed to be I?
Yeah, but how does it mean that? It doesn't mean that's in my brain.
What brain?
The brain that thinks it's asking a question. I mean, if I ask who's that lady, so I say, well, that's so-and-so. But it doesn't say to me, well, she comes from Germany. Those two meanings don't connect to me.
You mean who am I, where's the source of the eye?
Huh?
Where's the source of the eye?
Yeah.
Who am I?
Yeah. One said it means that where does I come from? Those two means
at the same time.
Yeah.
Where does I come from? Who am I? Where's the source of the I? When you keep asking these questions to yourself, it will become still and quiet and peaceful. And one day the whole thing will disappear. There'll be no more I left. There'll be no more Fred left. It will go with the eye. I don't have any more questions. So who am I and what is the source of the eye? It's anonymous. There's no difference.
I always trouble my brain just like Fred's do, I guess. I finally had to conclude that maybe a reminder just didn't understand English.
So use another language.
Why then I want to find out who am I?
Because the only way is the only feeling that you have.
Well, I will find out who am I anyway. If it's preordained, then I will find out who I am. Why am I wanting to find it out? Why?
Everything is preordained, as you say. Each of us are feeling the final way you want to go beyond the whole thing. When you inquire, who am I? What you're doing is you're letting go of everything. The predestination, the predestiny, everything lets go. It goes away, it disappears. And you find out that you are Brahman, you're absolute reality.
Yeah, but isn't that though that I would still. How would I put it?
See, when you realize everything is predetermined and predestined, then you're stuck to go through everything. But who am I releasing you from that? I release you from predetermination and predestiny. Makes it completely free.
But why do I want to find out? I mean, if I do not even exist, why do I want to find out who I am?
Because you don't believe that you don't exist. If you really knew that you didn't exist, you wouldn't have to do that. But you don't believe that you don't exist, you think you are somebody. Then you have to practice the practices to be nobody. Intellectually, you're saying that I am nobody. I don't exist. Then you ask the question whether I should do this for. But if you really were nobody, you wouldn't have to do anything. There would be nothing that you have to do. Doing it makes you realize this. And inquire, who am I? And think of this place where you will be totally free and liberated. So you don't believe it. Consciously right now. You say it, but you don't believe it. Mm-hmm. You have to practice, who am I? I'll take this even further into the self. We'll be totally free. You see what I mean?
But isn't that preordained too, then? You, just like you, you know, when you just start talking, you know, you just say, why are you here? You think that you're doing something, but this is all preordained, it's already...
It's all preordained. But to get beyond this, to transcend the preordination, you inquire, who am I? This takes you out of it and awakens you. To give you total freedom, liberation. But if you don't do that, then everything is preordained, it keeps on being preordained. It's only fear from the preordination to ask, who am I? To go within. It'll break it all to pieces. It'll break out of the shell of preordination, predestiny, karma. That's the only way to break away from it.
The inquiry is also preordained, right? The fact that you ask the question, who am I?
Mm-hmm. The inquiry is not really preordained. The inquiry is a freedom that you have. We have a certain freedom. If everything was preordained, we'd never be able to be anything. It would be the same way all the time. Nothing would ever change. We'd never get out of it. So when you ask, who am I? It transcends the preordination. It brings you to reality.
So actually, we don't believe that we don't exist.
Yes.
We believe that we are exist, that's why we keep on thinking and doing what we think we're doing.
Exactly.
And if we realize that we not even exist, then this is not preordained.
Exactly.
But you often say that we have the choice we don't have any choice in the matter except the choice to turn within. Do we really have the choice to turn within?
Yes.
Who has the choice to turn within if we don't ever have choice in the matter?
The one who believes they have no choice.
So there's only one choice that we have?
The one choice that you have to turn within, that's a reactionary condition.
And that's where I get confused, is where, who has the choice to do that if it's all predetermined and there's no individual?
It's all predetermined except there's a choice. The same feeling you've got. You believe you're an individual, and you believe that you're preordained. Mm-hmm. So of course you believe this, you have the choice to ask yourself, who am I? And turn within.
Yeah, but whether or not I do that, is that a choice, or is that just one more event in the process?
It's a choice. It's the only feeling we've got, the only choice we've got. Turn within, to know the truth. And the whole ball game is over.
We make a choice to do that? It just doesn't happen as one more step in the evolution or whatever?
It is your choice, it is your freedom that you have to make. You have the freedom to make the choice.
What's the freedom based on? In other words, who's making it? What kind of entity has the freedom to make a choice? Like for me, it seems like everything I do is based on a conditioning.
Yes, it's the ego that makes a choice. The same ego that doesn't exist, the same ego that is preordained, is also the ego that makes a choice. But soon within your trust in the ego, totally and completely, you become free.
Yeah, and I can understand that part, but I don't understand how there's one choice out of the midst of no choice. You know what I mean? I don't get where there's an individual who has that some kind of volitional power to do the turning within. It seems like still integrated in the whole scheme of things. Maybe it'll lead to the transcendence of the predetermination, but it still seems to be within the realm of predetermination to turn within.
It seems that way, but it's not. The predetermination exists in all areas. Except when you say, who am I?
And what makes us say that?
Your spiritual practices that push you here throughout the years, throughout the centuries. You may seem to say that now. Mm-hmm. Prior to this, you never really do this. It's just been along with the game.
So that freedom entails some kind of preconditioning, that there's something, there's preconditions to that freedom to do it. So you have some kind of previous, whatever you want to call it, evolution or something, to bring it to the point where we say, who am I? Right?
Say that again.
The freedom to say, who am I, is based on doing something in the past, so to speak, whether it's spiritual practices or just reaching a certain level of some kind, if you want to put in those words.
From practicing spiritual sadhana all these years, you're getting to the point now where you can say, who am I?
Right. So the sadhanas are the preconditioning for the preconditions, the prerequisites, so to speak,
yes,
to say, who am I?
Yes. It's pushed to that place. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, you wouldn't want to do that, so you wouldn't do anything like that.
Right.
And now you won't.